Is this thing on? Welcome to Rebooted the Podcast. I'm your host, Alita Hernandez. Come join me weekly to hear about my journey from recovery to healing after having a stroke and other life challenges. So let's get talking. So hi, everybody. Alita Hernandez here, Rebooted the Podcast. Of course, another celebrity guest that I have on today. And her name is Steph. And how do you say your last name?
Ziv, like give.
Yes. Oh, okay. I like that. Ziv. So Steph Ziv, and your book launches today. It comes out today. And it's called The Choice Is Yours, A Simple Approach to Life and Lead with More Joy, Ease, and Purpose.
Yes, a simple approach to live and lead with more joy.
Live and lead.
Yes, so live and lead.
That's all what we want to do is live and lead a better life. So how appropriate for us here on Rebooted. So
I love it.
So tell me a little bit about yourself and how did you start this journey with this book?
Oh my God, with the book. Well, it all started about 10 years ago. I really did start the book 10 years ago. In fact, I'm a former television executive turned certified life and executive coach. And I have always had my foot, my hands in personal and professional development. And so I really made a giant choice at the time that I chose to leave my golden handcuff job in the entertainment industry and to be an entrepreneur and to start my coaching practice, which I think a lot of people who might start this kind of practice is like, I just want to help people. But then we forget we also need to live. And so it was not a linear journey for me, but and there were many, many, many opportunities to make conscious choices in the process, many of which I did not make consciously. And so there was the inciting incident for the book, quite frankly, was when I had been working in the entertainment industry at age 40. At age 36, I left. I started the coaching. And then at age 40, everything fell apart and I completely failed. And I found myself turning 41 on my father's sofa. It was a very dark time. Mm-hmm. And so I had to pick myself up. I felt like I had to pick myself up and go back into the entertainment industry to get back on my feet. And then I got fired from that job. And as I was kind of getting back on my feet, I signed up for a Tony Robbins event, and where part of that is walking on fire. And there wasn't a part of me that wanted to do this, but in the thick of the 5,000 people chanting and that level of peer, what I experienced is kind of groupthink and peer pressure, I kind of left my body and thought someone else was going to save me from making this deranged choice. And I walked across the fire and I realized in that moment, like, that was not okay. I left myself. I was not present. And then I had another experience probably a year later where I was involved in, I went to another leadership training, and that part of that training was a ropes course. And we had to agree to do that before the training began. And I said, I'm not doing that. And they said, it's part of the program. I'm like, I'll do everything else. I'm not doing that. And I didn't know how I was going to get out of it. They let me stay in the program. And then the day of the ropes course, the way the guy expressed how we would do each exercise, if you know what a ropes course is, right? You're on these things called pamper poles, and you're flying in the air and you're jumping and people are catching you. And it's like a terrifying trapeze act. Mm-hmm. And it's meant to build team and build your own courage. And it's meant to do all these things. But I was clear. I did not need that to build this. So the guy said, here's how you're going to do it. You're going to walk up to the element, to the actual thing that you're going to do. And you stand up and you say, my name is, and I choose to do this event. And I went, and suddenly I was like, oh, thank you, God. Cause then I was like, okay, I'm going to do this. I stood up in front of everyone, in front of all my teammates. I said, my name is Steph. I choose not to do this event. And suddenly I was like, my book was born. I'm like, the power is in me. I can do this. I can say no. That choice is just as powerful as a yes.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And I've been to many different coaching, well, not really coaching, but you know, those mastermind, whatever events, and they give you the free one to get you in there. And then at the end of the course, they go, it's $5,000, but you have to do it because you're going to be making it. You're going to make thousands.
Have to.
So yeah. So, you know, I've listened to many different ones and I'm like, you know, it's hard. Some are great. Some are, it's, but the manipulation of you have to do this. And I sign up for something. I don't want to mention names. And I did the 1 day, you know, day, and it was great. And I actually got inspired by the people that were up there because they were doing testimonies. So I did get inspired and I felt very, you know, spiritual. Like I got the awakening to do the podcast there.
Mm.
Okay.
Great.
So I was like, wow, thank you. Thank you, God. I need it, right? So then I'm fine. For me, I'm fine. So I just left. And then I signed up for you can sign up for one. And my friend gave me a pass. So I went to it. And I sat down, they gave you the little brochure, and they start going, well, with this course, you have to follow so-and-so course with this curriculum, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, exactly. And then when I flipped the second page, it said $18,000. I went, so I...
But I think that's actually part of, I feel like, you know, in the world of, you know, it's very easy to get manipulated, right? And a lot of my experience, the way I talk about it in the book, I talk about, you know, my own experiences, but I talk about client experiences too. But in that specific experience with the firewalk, I gave my power away. And I think that that's what you're saying. It's very easy to do that. And we can do that in all these different aspects of our lives. It might not just be at a retreat. You know, it could be at work. It could be in our families. It could be in our relationships. It can be, you know, and the question is really, you know, what part of us is making these decisions? And that's where, and you know, I think my wake up call in that moment was I was not present. I was not in my body. I was completely hijacked by a part of me that thought I had to follow that. I had to follow these people. I had to, you know, that if I didn't do this, something bad was going to happen. Or like, cause that's the other part of this. It's like, if you don't do it, then your life isn't going to change. And I was like, well, I'm in no position for my life not to change. So I have to do this in order for my life to change, which outside of that scenario is insane to think, right?
Yeah, it is. It is. Cause you're losing control. And again, I understand you because I've been involved in several different things and thinking there's going to be a great thing. And then I spend them a lot of money and it went nowhere. Right, and, I've been learning more and more just by interviewing my podcast guest. And because I'm always interviewing different people when it comes to mindset, you know, our lifestyle, other people with books as well, like you, that from there I learned about taking control, right? Taking control of our life, our decisions. And I try to explain to people that when you make a decision in life, it's your decision. Nobody else made it. It's your brain. So you have to, when you make a decision, there's a result, right? I don't want to say consequence, but there's a result to your action, right? So people have to understand that and take responsibility for that. For a long time, I remember when I was younger, you know, I'm like this because so-and-so, my mother didn't do this or my father didn't do this. You know, we go through life like that. We try to blame other people for our situation, but no, you're the situation. You're in control. So absolutely. I guess once we understand that and understand, at least I feel my opinion is once we understand the control we have in our brain is unbelievable.
Yeah.
I mean, it has so much power, more power than we understand. And I'm learning as I go every day. And I learned that especially because I had the stroke 6 years ago. And that's what one of the part of why I did this podcast. So I learned that when I had the stroke, I was on the right side. So I lost 50% of my left side. And I couldn't understand. I kept saying, but I didn't have an injury. You know, like it was hard to understand the disconnect I had between the brain and the body. I learned for 2 years how to move again. Because I'm moving, I'm dancing, I'm exercising now. I mean, I could raise my arm. I couldn't do this for 2 years. So there was a lot of things that I had to learn. to, and I, now I'm realizing your brain, the more you push it and you say, I can, I will, I can move my arm, I can do this. And you continually push through the pain, right?
Yeah.
Pain, even if it's emotional, physical.
Well, yeah. And that's a choice too, right? And there's no, I like to think of it like there's no right or wrong choices. You're making choices all the time. And to your point, each one has a ripple effect. Each mm-hmm. one has a result. And so you get to take inventory and say, do I like this result or do I not? And if I don't, then I get to make a different choice. And if right. I do, I keep making the same choice or better or like the elevated choice, right? And right. you're speaking my language about the personal responsibility. The book is really about three things. It's about choice, permission, and personal responsibility. And it's like we have choices around us all the time. We don't speak about it. We say have to. We say should. Right? We should all over ourselves. And that's a disservice to the way in which we then show up and take action. If I should go to the gym, I'm going to instantly want to rebel against myself versus if I say I choose to go to the gym, suddenly the inner rebel is like, what? I'm sorry. I don't, what's my role now? You know, like, what am I supposed to do? So there's real agency in changing our language, in realizing we have choice, in giving ourselves permission to make the choice, permission to choose it, and then really taking personal responsibility, which is to say the ability to respond versus react. I think that so many of us are in this go mode and we're just moving and there's so much going on at once. We literally are living the, you know, everything everywhere all at once, like the movie. And we are not necessarily taking a conscious breath to stop and consciously choose our next step. It's a have to, it's a should. We are, I think, even especially in, you know, we in this society, we are often, our to-do list is a badge of honor, right? Mm-hmm. And I like to call it the to choose list. Like, let's just change the do to choose. And then what? Are you really choosing all this right now? And does it feel differently if I choose to do laundry versus I have to do laundry and fill in the blank for whatever level of choice you're making in that moment? But you're absolutely right about the personal responsibility. I wanted to. I joked with my book coach, and then she shot me down. But I wanted originally the subtitle of the book was going to be called "The Choice Is Yours." Make personal responsibility great again. Because you know what? It's like an empowering thing. I don't think it's a bad word. I think it's an empowering word. And yeah. I think always have the ability to respond to whatever's going on. So even in those moments where we feel like we don't have a choice, and there are certain, you know, I'm not going to take that away. There are circumstances where we may not have a choice. And we always have the choice about how we're going to relate to the experience.
I think in my journey, I think doing just being responsible, the personal responsibility on your choice it's a huge thing because yeah. I wasn't taking care of myself and before, so physically, so I had ailments that, you know, got to the point of having a stroke, right? Wow. So when I had the stroke, that was my wake up call. I mean, that was my, I say a blessing in disguise, right? Because it was like God came to me and said, hey, hello, wake up, you know, you need to make a choice. So my choice was live or die. That's how I felt. Do I choose to live or do I choose to continue and die young and not see my children grow? So I chose to live. And then that's where my journey began, you know, in this part of my life. So things that you're doing is awesome. I can't wait to get the book too, because I want to read it and see what I can learn from it also, you know, and, you know, that helps other people out there as well to make the right choices. And every day we have to make choices. So it's, you know, I mean, I give an example. This morning, I woke up this morning and I was like a little stressed, you know, business wise and, you know, things like that I have in my head. And I had a choice this morning. The choice was, do I get up with a clear head and just focus and do my game plan, what I need to do? Or do I sit in depression or in fear. You know what I mean? Like letting the stress get on me, and then I'm functionless. So I literally thought about these things this morning, and I said, well, it's a no-brainer. I want to get up and do what I got to do to make some money.
you're my choice hero. I love it. In fact, the way what you're describing is what I describe in the book as who's sitting at the head of the table. So if we think about it, like we all have all these different parts of us that are sitting around our proverbial inner table, which often I have heard called, may I swear on this podcast? May I swear? It's called, it's been called the shitty committee, right? Mm-hmm. And we have all these voices in our head, right? But if we think about it, like it's a dining room table, and instead of it being family and friends, it's all these different parts of us. And that includes both parts of the shitty committee, but it also includes love and joy, and confidence and enough, right? But around that table also sits stress and anxiety and, you know, and fear and less than and judgment. Like the critic could be there. For me, a lot of times perfectionist is sitting at the table. And the question is always, who's sitting at the head of the table? And what part, because if whatever part's sitting at the head of the table, that's the part that's making the decisions. Mm-hmm. And if, to your point, it's like you acknowledged and were cognizant enough to know that stress was sitting at the head of the table. And you were like, no, that's not going to serve me today. Right. You called a different part of you forth to lead the way. And then that's the part that gets to create your day. Right.
Exactly. Exactly.
And I think about this, like on the grander scale too, in terms of just, even if you think about a dining room table where your family and friends are around, and if everybody's coming to their seat with anxiety and stress and worry and concern and upset, then that's what's getting created at the dinner. Think about it in terms of our boardrooms and our classrooms.
Oh, yes. Right? I remember those days.
Right. And if you think about like, but if without this consciousness of what part of us is sitting at the head of the table, we are perpetuating these unhealthy patterns and this energy that's not really in service to our highest and best. And that's what I'm supporting people to shift in the book. And again, this starts with just the practice of observing without judgment what part of us is sitting at the head of the table, which is its own practice. It sounds like you are doing that with amazing skill every day. And God bless, because that is
not every day, but I try, you know.
It's a practice. It's not perfection.
It's a practice. But what the thing was, I discovered something about a month ago, which I thought was a huge breakthrough for me and even my husband, because that stress that I was talking about, that fear, you know, when you're like, I have a $5,000 bill. I don't have $5,000. What am I going to do? Right. That kind of thing. Like all of a sudden you're like, you know, like the panic. So I literally about a month or so ago, I was sitting down and all this stuff was coming in, bills and this and that. And the fear, I could feel the panic attack coming. I could literally feel it coming up. And I went, and I'm like, what the heck is this? I go, why am I fearful? I go, wait a second. No. Stop. And I went, eh. It was like, it literally stopped and started going away.
Wow.
And that's when I realized that I had the power to stop it. That it was.
What do you think allowed that to be stopped? What do you think it was?
Because I've had panic attacks before. I don't like them. They make you weak. They make you useless. They make you not in control. So I'm a stronger person now. And I was not going to let my physical, right, take over my mental. So I was like, and when I realized that I could, that I stopped it, I was like, wow, I couldn't believe it. Yeah. I actually stopped it. So I told my husband about it, and now he's done. And he says, oh my gosh, it stopped. I actually stopped it in the process of happening. So it was like a huge light bulb just went on.
Like, well, you are a very powerful person. I appreciate that you can be aware and have that moment of presence to really make a new choice, right? And you are someone, it sounds like you're really connected with your mind body, right? So, and I don't know that everyone is, and I think you're a great illustration and demonstration and example of that in motion. And I think that is so valuable. You know, I think about it also though, for us mere mortals in the world who may not be able to do that all the time. Like it's a, I do it all the time. Like I practice, right? It's a practice. So this is not meant to be like a quick fix. This is not a magic bullet. It's just really asking people to get more, to bring more consciousness to the choices that we make so that we have more agency and power over the results we create. And to the point that, that you're making also, it's like, sometimes it's not just about pushing that, that part away, but it's kind of about integrating that part. And what I mean by that is sometimes when fear is sitting at the head of the table, that's not, it might not be serving our greater goal, but it's there to really, I think oftentimes to protect us. It's there because it loves, like it's there out of love. Like it's not trying to be a terrible part of us. It's trying to protect us. It thinks that we need protection. So part of the way I like to, mitigate the fear sometimes is, again, go to that observe without judgment place and then see the fear. Again, if you're being chased by the lion, please.
Right.
Run, right? Run. If the house is burning, please run. Like run. Listen to the fear, but you know, but right. On day to day, like I'm scared about that bill or I'm scared that I'm going to, you know, I have a meeting with my boss and I'm going to have to share some bad news or right. Whatever it is. Like there's a way to be loving with that part of us. And like, think about it, like it's a scared kid. And then we kind of like, as a healthy adult or a parent would take a child and kind of hold it and love it instead of being like, get out of here. I don't want to see right. You ever throw it out the window. The fear is not going anywhere. The anxiety is not going anywhere. It's not leaving the table. It will be at the table. It just doesn't have to be at the head of the table.
Right. Exactly. It's how to deal with it. And I didn't mean to say like I'm suppressing the fear. I'm more of like I was stopping panic attack, like dealing with the fear. So I'm really dealing with it.
Yes.
So because I was dealing with it, it's suppressed.
Exactly. So, yes. And I was not at all like thinking that you were pushing it away. I just thought, but it was a good distinction to also make.
Yeah. There's
a
difference. No, it's perfect.
Yeah. Like it's because sometimes we can easily be like, okay, fear or anxiety or worry or stress. Like I'm in a, like, I'll be honest. This, do you hear all this construction going on in my house? Okay. Thank you. They're basically blowing up a building next to me. So,
oh, wow.
You know, I launched a book today, right? This is my very first book. It's been 10 years in the making. It is very vulnerable. There, I am doing a lot of things by myself. It feels completely overwhelming. When I am of conscious mind, what I know to be true is that overwhelm is future negative fantasizing. It means that I'm already ahead of myself and I think it sucks. So the opportunity instead is to come back to center and be like, okay, what's happening right now? I'm having this conversation. It's awesome. I hear some sirens. Like my book is out in the world. Like I'm looking at my book right now. Like like everything is okay. Like in this moment, everything is okay. And then I choose to take one step at a time. I've talked myself on and off that ledge, you know, for the past week, right? It's like, I literally wore a shirt the other day that said perspective. And I was using that as my mantra because it's also like, okay, I'm going to choose this to be, I'm going to choose perspective today. Like nothing, everything is like, there might be glitches. Things might be going awry. Everybody is okay. Everybody's safe. Everybody's healthy. Like it doesn't, you know, like in the scheme of things, there's also a choice to stay grounded.
Right. Yeah, I know that our life is not easy. Nobody said it was going to be easy. They didn't even teach us when we were kids. I don't think even our parents knew how to tell us, you know. That's why I used to tell my kids, stay young, stay little. They tell me why. I said, because being grown up sucks sometimes.
I call the book, you know, Live and Lead with More Joy, Ease, and Purpose, because I think that we already have those things really within us. I didn't want to assume that people were not already having joy, ease, and purpose in their life, but I wanted to help them elevate it a little bit. And I think that there is something about, you know, choosing ease too. I think, yes, there are facts and there are stories, right? There are facts that some things are very hard, but that, you know, and then what came first, the story or the experience? You know, if we lead with this is hard, then does it become true? Or, you know, or, and what's like, I was always astounded. Like, why do we say worst case scenario? Why don't we say best case scenario?
Thank right? you.
why is the news bad? Who made that choice?
I don't know.
Why can't news be good?
Right. Exactly.
And again, this is the framework of our own mental work too. It's like, how do we get to choose the stories that we share with ourselves, the stories that we author, right? Who, whatever part of us is sitting at the head of the table is the authority, which is authoring a story. If hard is sitting at the head of the table, guess what? It's going to be a hard day. If ease is sitting at the head of the table, there's more opportunity to choose the path of ease, which is not to say easy, right? And like, right. because I've gotten into this conversation a lot with clients. We're like, well, if it's easy, it's not worth it. I'm like, who said?
Who said
that?
If it's easy, let's go for it.
Right. Let's have ease. Like, that's another weird badge of honor.
Yeah,
this,
it is. It
right?
is.
Work hard, play hard. I'm like, I don't want to do anything like that. Like, I'm not into that. I want to ease and joy and purpose. Yeah.
That's so true. So your book's going to have some valuable information for so many out there. So I'm really happy. Congratulations.
Thank you so much. Making.
And you did it. So a big high five for you. And, you know, you did it.
I did it. Thank you. I appreciate it.
And where can we find the book?
The book is everywhere where you get books. So it's on Amazon and Books A Million and Bookshop and Barnes & Noble. And you can find it also if, but I'd really love people to go to my website too, because after you buy the book, I have some free gifts for you. Okay. And my website, I guess, will be where this is. Can I say it?
Yes.
Oh, it's stephziv.com. So stephziev.com. Perfect. And in the website, you can just go to there's a book in the, it'll just say order now all over it. So just click that and it'll take you to where you need to go.
Okay. Yeah. What I'll do is I'm going to add the link on here so people see the video. I want to post it on later today since the book launched today. So I'm going to push it. And then I'll probably have two episodes today. So I want to put yours in first.
I love it.
Today. So I'm going to have all the links on the video and everything so people can go, and I'll send it to you as well.
Thank you so much. I'm so grateful.
It was a pleasure talking to you. Sorry, we had a mix up last week. It was just a little
perfect
craziness, but it was good waiting to speak to you. That's for sure.
You too. Okay. Thank you so much.
All right. Have a great day.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you for joining us today. Don't forget to follow us on social media at Rebooted the Podcast to learn about each episode's guests and topics. This is your host, Alita Hernandez. See you next Tuesday.